My name's Jordan. It's great to be here. It's a joy to be here with you this morning. And I have a dog named Jack. Does anybody else have any pets or dogs or anything? All right, crazy got a dog. Cool. All right, dogs are great. Cats are okay too. I've been watching my mom's, she has three dogs and a cat. And my dog's been over there. So I've been surrounded by four dogs and a cat for the last week. And it has been, the dynamic in the house is really wild. So the dogs are all like, yeah, get after it. Go, let's go, Dad. And the cat is like watching me as I scoop its litter box and like, that's what you do, human. That's what you do, human. Uh-huh. That's exactly what you do with that. When the dogs, when I go out and take care of them, they're like, what? I put that there for a reason. But these, they've really taught a lot. I think God puts things in our lives and puts relationships in our lives for purpose. And I like to think that God put Jack in my life for a reason. Because he's taught me a lot about myself. And he's taught me a lot about how I interact with my Father, with God. And he's taught me a lot about patience and humility and long-suffering and bearing with one another, like we talked about last week. He's taught me a lot about myself. Last week, my mom was watching him for the week before. Some of you may know that Becky experienced a fall, and she was in the hospital, so my mom took Jack for the week, and I hadn't seen him for over a week. So on my way to my mom's house, I was driving and just getting so enthusiastic about seeing my dog that I haven't seen in a week, and just wanted to show him love, wanted to rub his belly, wanted to give him some food, give him some treats, because he's my very good best buddy boy. And I got there, and I'm looking so forward to seeing him, and I get there, and he's like, Dad, just let me outside. Just let me outside. I recognize you, but let me outside. And he just takes off outside. I'm like, dude, I give you everything. I feed you, I give you treats, I rub your belly, and this is how you treat me? Like, bro. He's like, but there are squirrels outside. There are chipmunks outside. Dad, there's a lot of things going on outside that I need to be a part of. And what he taught me there, I'm like, wow. That love that I have for my dog Jack is a microscopic grain of sand compared to the love that God has for each and every one of us. And he gave me that moment to pause and think of the things that I get distracted by. When God has all this love and provision for me, that I still get distracted. But Jack being distracted, going out and doing his thing, didn't make me love Jack any less. You see, when Jack finally got done chasing the squirrels, he came up to me and gave me a big old wet kiss on my face. So that's weird to some people. That's okay. It was right here. It was more like a neck kiss. So this isn't really, nope, Jack's not allowed to lick this part of my face. He can lick my neck. But he showed me his love. And in that moment, I realized that I get distracted so easily, even when I'm in Scripture. Even when I'm surrounding myself with God's word, I can get distracted. And I ask myself, why, if you are this committed to following Jesus Christ, am I still getting distracted? And the reality is that this world, there are forces trying to pull us away from Jesus. The enemy is always actively pursuing us, trying to get in the middle of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that there is a current ruler of the world, and it's Satan. That he is the enemy, that he is bringing up this evil in this world. And then we ask ourselves, well, why would God allow Satan to rule this world? And this week, it came to me that I think that God allows Satan to think that he is in control because the victories that we have in Jesus Christ are so much more glorious in enemy territory. That we are here. You just turn on the TV to see how chaotic and crazy this world is. But we are here as representatives of Jesus Christ because those victories in enemy territory are so much more glorifying to God than if we were to just all get together and God says, you are good, you are good, you are good, and then our brains just switch and that's, yes, I'm good. That's not how God has designed it. The closer we get to God, the louder Satan yells. The closer we get to God, the more I want to dive into Scripture. Even as I'm reading, I get distracted because Satan is trying to pull me away from what Jesus has for me. Because there's victory in the Lord, and that victory is happening in enemy territory. Today we're looking at Galatians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, pull that out. If you don't have one, there's one underneath the chairs. If you don't own a Bible, please take one of those Bibles home as a gift from Hope the Breakfast Church. We believe that God's truth is powerful and God desires to speak to you through his word. And that is the best place to go to experience God. But we'll be in Galatians chapter 5, because last week we talked a little bit about walk it like we talk it. What do we look like as Christians interacting with each other and Christians interacting with the world when we walk it like we talk it? Not doing what we should do, but this is how we act when Jesus Christ is at the center of our lives. And there's some struggles with that sometimes because we're being distracted, we're being pulled away. This week in Galatians, Paul writes about the internal struggle that we're having. Paul writes about the acts of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. Because those are two very different things, and they are easily identifiable because they conflict each other. And as our old selves, we were acting in the flesh. You see, we have a pre-existing condition when we're born, and it's sin in our lives. We have a pre-existing condition, and these acts of the flesh are symptoms of that pre-existing condition. When we're born, we're very me-centric and self-centered because I need my diaper changed. I need to be fed. Mama, where are you? I need somebody to buy my clothes. I need somebody to take me to school. And this is how our brain is trained to being, what can this situation do for me? This is what I need. This is the acts of the flesh being very self-centered of what can this do for me? Where's my benefit in this? Me, me, me. It's a me mentality. And Paul tells us that the fruits of the Spirit are opposite. They are always through relationship with each other and through relationship with God. So I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll see what God has for us after that. Before I do, I'll pray real quick. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. We know that you have communicated this and maintain the truth to pass to us for thousands of years, and it lands here today. I pray that we honor your truth and your word through the things that are spoken here, and I pray that we can create room in our hearts as we listen to your word for you to do something, for you to move in our hearts in a way that we haven't felt, whether it's we have never felt before or we haven't felt in a while, Lord, we welcome you into this space. Holy Spirit, you are welcomed in our hearts. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So life by the Spirit, chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatsoever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Lord, thank you for your direction. Thank you for your word and your truth. I pray to honor these words today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Paul has demonstrated a couple of different avenues, a couple of different things that we are either for or against. The acts of the flesh, he has them all listed out right here. And I think what Paul's telling us is that we are not, it's binary. So I can't be 70% walking in the Spirit and 30% walking by the flesh. When we commit to Jesus Christ, what he's calling us to is to be 100% engaged in walking in the flesh. In verse 13, it says, we are free from the present evil in the world, that we don't have to serve it. I think he recognizes that this world is evil and that we are not of this world, but the things that are in this world are always trying to distract us. They're always trying to pull us away from what God would have for us, trying to pull us away from the growth that God would have for us. And it requires a consistent relationship with God to walk in the Spirit. Because this is the me mentality. The acts of the flesh is all self-serving. It's all self-gratifying. We see this list and we see Paul go through, and there's a lot on there, but he leaves it open at the end of it, and he says, and the like. So we can add to this list. I think we can all add to this list in our minds. We may not identify with these things that are listed here, but we all have something we can identify with. You may say to yourself, well, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. But they do. This is not a comparison thing. That's the legalistic view of Scripture has me versus you. Am I doing this better than this person? Or it's a comparison. And the blood of Christ that was sacrificed for us eliminates that. This is not trying to compare each other's notes or compare each other's lives or flip on the TV and say, well, at least I didn't end up on the news for this. Or I just do a little bit of this. I'm not that far deep into sin. It's just hitting me at my ankles. What Paul is telling us is that we are one or the other, that our old self is crucified to the cross with Jesus, that he died for our old self so that we can be renewed and restored in his Spirit, through his Spirit. We check these lists and we understand that all of these things are self-centered things. All of these things have what we want at the forefront of them. And that's how our brains are absorbing our life from birth. It's me, me, me. Feed me. Clothe me. Take me to school. And our brains can be a trusted friend, but they lie to us. And that's why Jesus came down to save us from our thinking, from our stinking thinking. Jesus came down for us to have an opportunity to live how God would want us to live, to be the person that God created us to be through Jesus Christ. We can't do that on our own. We can't just self-correct on our own. When we're experiencing these acts of the flesh, we identify them. Trying to do it on your own is our own willpower. And I'd like to show you what our own willpower looks like. I can do it. I can do it. I won't. We can only hold on so long by ourselves. We cannot do this life on our own. We can identify and say, I'm going to hit that in the mouth, not doing that again. But Jesus, other people need you more than I do, so you focus on their sin, and I'm going to really work hard on this right here. I'm going to really work hard on this right here. Ooh, that looks good. I'm going to really work hard next time. I just failed once. I just failed, you know, this one little thing. God's grace is good enough for me. God's grace is sufficient. That is not what God's grace is designed for. Is for us to take his grace and spit in his face. God's grace is designed for our love and is designed to help us through the things that we need help through. Once we identify and repent about the things that are acts of flesh, God is with us along every step, praying that we lean on him, not to do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. God has designed us for relationships with each other and with him. And to get away from this me mentality, because that's where Satan's having his party. It's like, yeah, you do deserve that. You know, one little fill in the blank won't hurt. Or just, you know, you've been so good all week. You've been so good all month. Just help yourself. My friend Forrest at Exit Church identified sin. He made it really simple for me. I need things simple. He said, sin is like a petri dish of negativity. You have one little drop in there and things start multiplying. So after you've been going so long, walking in the Spirit, and you feel like you deserve a pass, just tonight I get a pass, then that multiplies exponentially. And that petri dish goes from one little dot in there to the whole thing's black. Because sin is so active in our lives. If we give it any fuel, whew, it just takes over. And this one thing, this one act of flesh that we had a problem with, now it's several of these things because it's a me mentality. Once we start saying, well, this felt really good, or this was satisfying to me, this made me feel like I was, you know, a little better. This was self-medicating. Once we do that over and over again, this self-medication becomes a cycle. It becomes a cycle of depending on something other than Jesus Christ. And Paul has identified those, and we could make that list a mile long. They're all different. We are all predisposed to sin. Some of us are predisposed to other sins that you may never experience in your life. But I think we're all predisposed. Some of us have, in my family, there is a history of alcoholism. My dad was an alcoholic. So genetically, they have identified that some of that stuff is genetic. Also, I think we can be predisposed to these acts of the flesh by having contagious minds. If if someone grows up in a house where their parents are racist, and they grow up thinking that this is the right way, this is acts of the flesh, this is how we should walk, this, I feel fueled by this hatred, I feel empowered by this hatred, that is an example of contagious minds. And the only counter to that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one that can peel away those layers of hatred and layers of sin. Jesus is the only one that can peel that back to reveal our hearts. And he's done that on the cross. His sacrifice was for us. His sacrifice was so that we can live in freedom, that we can live in this evil world, knowing that he is at our side, knowing that he's had our back the whole way, knowing that he has every bit of the path in front of us. And when we do that internally, we start seeing the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are not always easy to do. They're challenging. The love, the joy, the peace. We're called to love our neighbors, even when they're playing loud music, or even when they are fill in the blank. You know your neighbors, you can fill in the blank. We're called to love them, not because it's easy, but because God loves us. It's tough to find joy apart from Christ. It is tough to find joy in seasons of grief. But through that challenge, there is growth. There is growth of the fruit. It is tough to find peace when all this chaos is happening. I've had a wild month, and it's been tough to find peace away from Jesus. But when I kind of circle back, when I identify all these things that are distracting me and eliminate everything and go to this common denominator in my life is Jesus Christ, that's where I find peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. And he has given us his Spirit as a gift. He has given us his Spirit so that we can work on our fruits. We can place our roots in Jesus so he produces fruits in our lives. He produces patience. He produces kindness and goodness. You see, the fruits of the Spirit are all characteristics of Jesus Christ. So what Jesus wants to do is transform our lives from who we used to be to who we are to who we are going to be. Those are all three different people. Who we used to be went by the acts of the flesh, went by me, me, me mentality. Who we are is recognizing that Jesus, I am flawed. And these are the areas where I need you in my life. I need to give these things to you. Help butter up my fingers so I can release them to you, Jesus. And who we are is what we transform into. Maybe something that resembles Jesus Christ in our lives. These are all, the fruits of the Spirit are all characteristics of Jesus. And point number two is the fruits of the Spirit always require consistent relationships with others and with God. All of these fruits of the Spirit are gifts that Jesus gives to us to give to others. Jesus came to serve. And I believe he has placed us, our purpose individually and collectively is to serve. And these relationships, these are equipping us, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, they are equipping us to share that with other people. And I appreciate the patience that is given to me by God. Because there's no reason when I mess up in my life that God can't say, you're done. That's it. You can't fulfill the purpose. He doesn't say that. He gives us grace because we fail. He gives us love. He gives us provision. This requires consistent relationship with others and with God. Sometimes we tend to revert back to the flesh, not intentionally, but we isolate ourselves. And I tell you what, that's a perfect condition for that petri dish. Isolation, no accountability, nobody knowing what's really going on. I believe the church is called to be a part of, we are called to be a part of each other's lives. Not just this Facebook happy reel, what's going on. Oh, this is my highlight reel of everything that's great. Behind that highlight reel, there can be pain, there can be suffering, there can be things that try and distract us, things that try and pull us away from Jesus. Behind that highlight reel of Facebook or Fakebook, whatever you want to call it. And the anecdote for Facebook and the highlight reel is church. It's being with you folks, knowing that we are all going through sin. There is no finish line where we can say that I am done with all acts of flesh. That's the goal. Don't get me wrong here. But we live in a world that will always be pulling for our attention. We live in a world that's always seeing us get closer to Jesus Christ, and we start getting pulled back. It's like, get off me, Satan. Not today, homie. That's how I talk to Satan sometimes. Excuse me. It's identifying that. It's identifying Satan in your life. As I've been studying this week, I'm like looking through scripture. I'm looking at different documentation, and I'm seeing these different things pop up. Like, what are you even, how did you get on my computer? Get out of here. It's like, hey, you want to play this game, this Candy Crush something? I'm not saying Candy Crush is inherently evil, but if you focus all your time on Candy Crush, maybe God has something else for you in there somewhere. Maybe. I'm not at the gates of heaven. But we get distracted. The closer we get to God, the louder the devil yells. And when we identify these things, when we identify Satan trying to distract us, we can pray. We can invite Jesus into the conversation. We can rebuke the devil and allow Jesus to fill in that gap. The fruits grow through being challenged. We don't become kinder by just being kind to all the folks that we like. We become kinder, we are called to be kinder to everyone, even the people that just kind of rub you the wrong way, and I wish I didn't see them at the grocery store, but, well, how is everything going, Judy? It's being kinder. We are challenged through each of these. We grow through our patience by waiting in patience. In patience. There's a space between there. We grow patient by waiting in patience. It's not easy. This is why it's called discipleship. You see the word in there, discipline. Our brains can be our best friends, but they can also lie to us every single day. Because we are trained to go into a self-preservation mode or a self-awareness mode. Excuse me, scratch that. Not self-awareness. A self-preservation mode or self-satisfying mode. Our brain is telling us, yeah, you can do that. You need that. You want that. It'll be good for you. But what discipline does is teach us to identify those distractions in our lives. And it also teaches us how to pivot in our lives. That discipline. It's not something that we like doing all the time, initially. Initially, it's work. You have to, reading scripture, it's work. It's kind of like going to the gym. You know, we don't all necessarily love going to the gym. Clearly, I need to get there more often. However, it's a discipline. When we do that, when we go through those exercises, we become stronger. And these these fruits of the Spirit become more natural in our everyday lives. They become more natural because it's just what we go to. We are retraining our brain through our discipleship. Through our discipleship of Jesus Christ, we are retraining our brain because our brain is programmed, it's wired as we grow up to pursue acts of the flesh because they're self-satisfying. What Jesus wants us to do is retrain our brain so that we can extend those fruits of the Spirit to others, so that we can invite others to experience what we've experienced through Jesus Christ. We all have three identities: who we were, who we are, and who we're going to be. And I believe Jesus Christ is inviting us to invite him into our lives. So it's a reciprocating invitation. He invites us to live with him in his lives and his ways, and we invite him into our lives so he can butter up our fingers, so we can let go of what we're naturally inclined to be distracted by. I'll close with this. I think we are all called to walk in the Spirit. And it's like willpower. We can't do it on our own. We can't live a Christian life on our own. But Christ can live in us. We can't do this on our own, but Christ can live within us. And as a part of that recognition and honoring, today we are going to celebrate together in communion. So I'll invite the ushers up, if you would. Jesus gave us direction before he was about to go through an indescribable series of events. He gave us direction. He was about to go through some things that we can only imagine for each and every one of us. He gave us this action as a reminder, as an invitation, as a reminder to invite Jesus into our lives. And that's what we'll do today. So we'll hand the bread. If you please hold off, and we will partake together. But this is an example of Jesus in our lives. This is his direction to us. This is what he tells us how to honor him. And it's a physical representation of what Christ is doing in our lives. Lord, we need you. Lord, you are welcome here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me,'" if you would. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Please. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We believe that Jesus Christ is our coming King. And we believe that he is with us and he has gifted us with so many things, so many provisions, so many things to honor him, so many things to get back aligned with him through repentance. He has invited us into living a whole different life than we used to. He invited us into that because he has purpose for every single person in this room. He has a plan for you to grow his kingdom within your heart and to grow his kingdom with every relationship that he places into your life. That is a fruit of the Spirit, growing God's kingdom, multiplying his kingdom. Let me pray. Thank you, Kurt. Lord, we recognize that there are things in this world that are trying to pull us away from you. Lord, help us to identify those things and not just be okay with them. Help us to move on from a this is just who I am mentality. We pray that we can invite you into those things, Lord. That we can release these things that are acts of flesh that are pulling us away, that are trying to distract us from you. Every step we take closer to you, Jesus, Satan is trying to pull us the other way. We pray for the faith to keep walking towards you. With every step, you grow our hearts and you mold us into something that resembles you. Lord, we are so thankful for your sacrifice. We're so thankful for your church, for your body. We pray that we can move and respond how you would move and respond. Lord, we pray against the acts of flesh, and we pray that you help each of us individually, not by dropping a grenade into our lives, but by surgically identifying the things that we need to let go of in order to get closer to you. That is our desire today, Lord. I pray that we walk out of here keeping in step with your Spirit. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, church. Today we are doing, at Hope the Breakfast Church, we do discussion questions. So if you haven't been here before, don't feel like this is a test for you. We invite this discussion because we all have different perspectives. My life experience is different than your life experience and is different than your life experience. So we all kind of circle around the table to chew some stuff out, to let some things marinate and see what our perspectives are. So I, let's see, Dennis, do you have those two? Awesome. Dennis is a bit. Can I get to you for Dennis and Dwayne? Thank you guys both. Thank you both. So discussion questions. Are things or acts inherently of the flesh? Is there a determining identification? So question one, I have an answer for that, but it may be different than an answer for you. Question two, what was once a part of your flesh that is now nailed to the cross? So if you can identify something that was the old you, and this, you don't have to, but sometimes the opportunity to share these things with each other can let each other know that you're not the only one that's been through this. You're not the only one going through this sin. We're here together. God has put us around these tables specifically and intentionally. So what was once a part of your flesh that is now nailed to the cross? Old you versus new you. And so we can have some talk, maybe drink some coffee, and have a blessed rest of your day. And yeah, let me pray real quick before we close out. I'm sorry? Let me pray real quick. We'll dismiss. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to be together for fellowship. You designed us to live life together, not live lives in rows, staring at someone else's back of their head. We find that you've placed each other in our lives so we can get to know each other. And Lord, I pray that these discussions are fruitful and we can learn to be humble and patient with each other through these conversations. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, have a good week.